Hi, welcome to another episode of the podcast where we interview brothers and sisters in Christ, and we ask them what their daily routine is, what do they do to exercise their faith and feed their faith. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing a brother that I met through Instagram, and I just felt that he was Holy Spirit driven, Christ-centered, and I prayed on it and God said, yes, interview my son. So I sent the request, a brother prayed on it, and now here we are. Could you tell the listening audience your name?
Prophet Josiah.
Amen. And from your Instagram, you like to rap, and you're an MC, correct?
Yeah, MC, rapper, servant of the Lord, all of that.
Husband. Amen to that one, right?
Father.
God gave me a verse to discuss for every interview. I want to read it to you, and I want to get your opinion. I just want the audience to get another perspective. This comes from Philippians 2:12, and it reads, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, Prophet Josiah, when you hear that verse, what's your understanding?
So, first of all, Paul is just dope, just anyways.
Amen.
But I mean, like, even if you read the next verse, like right after that, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So it's like, to me, when I read that, one, fear and trembling is like a serious thing. Like God is somebody where he controls everything. He created everything. I don't take God as a joke or, you know what I'm saying, like a game. So when he says he wants you to do something, it's like, you're saying, kind of have some reference with it. Like, I'm saying, like, this is God telling you to do something. You should be careful of how you approach that thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like act like it's something serious. Don't treat it like a joke or a game. And then right after that, he tells you why. Because it's God who works in you to both will and do his good pleasure. So it's like, be fearful because he wants you to do what his ultimate purpose is. It's not just for you to just be afraid for no reason. It's because he wants you to do what he wants you to do so that you can fulfill his ultimate purpose. And you know what I'm saying? That's my take, personally, anyway.
It's an awesome take. I appreciate every perspective. And that's what I tell people. When you read a verse, read above and read below.
Got to.
I just can't wait until we get to heaven and we're high-fiving Paul for these amazing love letters.
I know, man.
Now, I want the listening audience to get to know a little bit about you. Mm-hmm. Could you share your name? You know, what we know a little bit of what you do for work, but if you're married, kids, and what church do you attend to?
So, I'm married, got two kids. In my, like, regular life, I do, like, tech support, like, over the phone, talking to people about their computers, making it work, fixing what's going on with the printers, all types of stuff like that.
What church do you attend to?
Oh, I go to Bethel. It's called, the church is called Bethel World Outreach Church here in Nashville, Tennessee.
If you can tell us briefly, when did your relationship with Jesus begin?
So, I have, like, different phases, what I call phases anyway. So, my relationship initially began when my mom was like, yo, it's Christmas. Jesus bought all the gifts. We're like, Jesus did not buy the gifts yet. You bought the gifts. She will put presents under the tree, and it would say, to you from Jesus. And we're looking like, okay. So that's initially where it started. My mom really taught us and raised us to believe, like, yo, Jesus is real. It's not a joke. It's not a game. And then, you know, that's from, like, I'm like 10, 11 or something like that. And then as I get older, I start forming my own opinions. Like, well, maybe he's real, maybe he's not real. I don't know. This is what my mom said, but, you know, I don't really know for myself yet. So around the age of 18, I start seeking God for myself. Like, I need to know if you're real. And I actually prayed stuff like this. Like, I need to know if you're real. If you're real, I need you to show up in my life, reveal yourself to me, make it known. Because if you're not real, then I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. I'm not just doing stuff just because my mom said it. Like, I need to know that, you know, like, you're legit. And he just started showing up. Like, I would pray for something, I would see it happen. I would ask for things in other people's lives, and I would see that thing happen. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this is for real. And then I would read the Bible, and I would try to apply it, and I would see just the realness of his word being applied actually working in my life. So then that's when I started realizing, like, oh, this is, like, real for real. It's not just what people talk about. This is, like, a legit thing. So then I was like, yo, if this is real like this, I need to start telling other people about it. So then I had this thing where, you know what I'm saying, whenever I met somebody, you know, so this is when I'm, like, I'm probably, like, in my 20s. And I was like, yo, any person I come in contact with, if you are around me for more than 3 or 4 minutes, I used to have a timer. I used to watch on my watch. If you stand next to me for more than 3 or 4 minutes, I'm going to bring up Jesus in some kind of way.
Amen. Got to.
So look, I'm standing in an elevator. The elevator gets stuck. I'm in there. I look at my clock. Okay, we just hit the 3 minute mark. We got to bring up Jesus. And I wouldn't bring it up like, hey, do you know Jesus? Because that sounds kind of corny to me. So I would just find a way to weave God into a conversation. So I would say something like, you know, what church do you go to? And most people either don't go to church or they do go to church. But like when you say, what church do you go to? It's like you're assuming that they go to church. So that automatically sparks a conversation because they'll either say, I don't go to church. Church is dumb or whatever, whatever. And then we start talking about it. Or they'll say, oh, I go to this church down the street, blah, blah, blah. And then the conversation starts from there. So I found that just by asking that simple question, what church you go to? It either makes people get really mad or, like, really happy. And either way, you have a good conversation.
That's true. We got to bring him up. And I love doing the same thing, putting people on the spot. Mm-hmm. Because that's what my friends and brothers in Christ and loved ones do for me. You know, I allow them to do that. It's like, hey, what are you doing right now? And I'm like, I'll tell you in a sec. Let me figure this out. Yeah, it's amazing, brother. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, like as I was talking to you before we started recording, the essence of this podcast is to show people our daily routines.
Right.
In hopes that they take a little bit of nuggets, they grab something, they apply it to fortify or to begin their relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Because ultimately, it is a personal relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, I just hope that no one has to go through bad stuff in order to get there, but we all have our destinies. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your daily routine. What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
First thing I do when I wake up, I grab my phone, see if I got any emails, go to the bathroom, and then I go out to my car and I call my friend. We basically read the Bible every day. We pray every day. So it's like our routine to get up every morning. Usually between like, maybe like 7:30 and 8:30, or you know, sometimes it lasts between like an hour and a half to 2 hours. We typically talk about what happened the day before. Like, yo, what happened to you yesterday? Oh, yesterday I was doing this thing. This happened, that happened. And I tell them what happened to me yesterday. And then we chop it up a little bit. And then we just go straight to the scripture. And it's weird because what I find is that whatever happened yesterday is somehow plays out in whatever we're reading today. So it's weird that happens like that. But he could say, yes, I was feeling this kind of way and whatever. And then it's like, cool. So we start reading. And Paul's like, if you feel this way, what you should be doing is such and such. And we just like, wow. Like, it's weird that it just lines up perfectly with what we just talked about because we didn't know what was going to happen next in the Bible. We're just reading. And it's just dope how God even speaks through his word to your daily situations when it seems like that wouldn't happen, but it does. It happens almost every day.
Yeah, it's so cool. It applies in every situation, in all situations.
It does.
On that note of answering that question about scripture being so important in our lives, do you set time? I know we talked about it in the morning, but how about throughout the day? Do you set time to pray for others, to call others, to read scripture?
I don't have a set time. My set time is in the morning to do that, but I make it my I guess I have like a regular mindset to always keep my antennas up, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes God could just drop something on you and you have to like attend to it. I'm trying to make it so that like if people don't know what I'm talking about, they understand what I mean. So you said I could be at work. I'm saying like I work from home. And I could be talking to somebody and I get this feeling like, yo, you need to go pray, or I need to talk to you about something. This is God dropping something in my spirit. So then when I get off the car, I go on break and I literally go in the closet and you say, I'll talk to God like a regular person. So, you know, the same way I'm talking to you, I go in the closet, close the door, and it's almost like God is like calling me on the phone, but it's in my mind. I'm like, yo, what up?
No, I agree. I full on agree.
You know what I'm saying? And then I just start talking like, so I felt like you wanted me to be in here. I'm open to whatever it is you want to share with me, whatever it is. And then I just kind of quiet my mind, because you can, you know, you could be praying and be thinking about a billion other different things. So I try to quiet my mind and just listen to what might be there. Or sometimes I'll start by talking to myself, knowing that he's there listening. Like, yeah, well, I was thinking about this. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm thinking. And then while I'm doing that, sometimes I hear God speak. So I don't have a set time other than the time that's in the morning, but I end up talking to God throughout the day, or I might end up pulling up another scripture throughout the day. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, but it's not really set like that. The time that's set for that is in the morning.
Correct. Yeah, and I do the same. My morning time is around 5 a.m. to 5:30, and that's the time that I provide to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Just because I have plans, but they never pan out. Yeah, yeah. And if they pan out, I'm like, I screwed up. I'd rather be on his plans.
Absolutely.
I just enjoy that moment. And I think what you're saying is, it's quite inspirational, you know, to our prayers for others is to sit still and just, you know, pray, or we don't know what to pray, and just by being silent, we connect to Lord. He knows exactly what we need. Absolutely. You know, how we're hurting.
A lot of times you can just open
joy
the scripture too, and he talks to you right through the scripture. So like, you know, sometimes you go to pray and you're looking for this big aha, you know, moment where God is speaking, and it's just like, my son, do this or do that. And it's like, sometimes you can literally go in the closet, pray. I'm like, okay, I know you called me in here. I'm in here. I don't really hear anything. I'm not feeling anything. I'm just going to open up my Bible. I open it up and I either reread what we read earlier this morning, or I read something new, and it might just jump off the page. Like, oh wow, this is talking right to me. More so than it did earlier, or more so than any other time. It's like this scripture is actually speaking to me directly. And it's like that to me is just so dope, how God just speaks through his word. So if you're looking to hear from God, you can literally just open up the Bible, go to Proverbs, go to Psalms, and get, you know what I'm saying, just some basic wisdom and some basic truths. Or you can flip over to Philippians and just start reading, and it becomes really clear real fast, like, oh, God is talking to you. You need to pay attention to this. You need to look out for that. Don't allow other people to make you feel this way or that way. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay. It's like, yo, this, yo, it's amazing to me how the Bible is just like, how people look at it as just regular. It's like, yo, the words literally jump off the page. Like, ha. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you not into this book? It's like the keys to life, man, right there.
Yeah, it's amazing how I've had moments of hurt and pain. Mm-hmm. And then I flip over to Job and I look at God and I'm like, yeah, my stuff is nothing compared to this, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I start, you know, just feeling much better. I'm like, wow, at least I'm not going through what Job is going through. You know, can you expand a little bit more why? Because I know you're passionate about reading scripture. Mm-hmm. How much more can you give the audience in regards to making them understand that this is what motivates you?
I don't know. It's just, it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like when you read it and you understand what you're actually reading, and you understand like this is not just like, you know how you, you know, like you might go to the, like, for instance, I downloaded like an audiobook. It's a guy talking about why things become popular or why things go viral. So I'm listening to it, and he's just talking. Yeah, things become viral because of this. If you pay attention to this, you can kind of find a pattern and da-da-da-da-da. But what he's saying is just information. Like, it doesn't really mean anything to my soul or to my life. It's just a cool book. He's talking. It's very informational, and I can take notes, and I can take heed to that. When you read the Bible, it's like beyond information. It's like God left a note for you. You're picking it up and you're reading it, but it's to you. You know what I'm saying? it's like you read it, even though Paul's talking to a bunch of different people, when you read it, a lot of it applies to everybody. So you're reading it like, oh yeah, Paul's talking to the Philippians and he says, you know, such and such and such. Okay, cool. All right, bet. But then, you know, like say for instance, you're feeling uneasy about going to a job interview, or you're feeling anxious about whatever, and today just happens to be the day you're reading Philippians chapter 4. You get to verse 6, and he's like, yo, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, you can read that and just be like, oh yeah, that's just information. Or you can look at it like, I'm anxious right now. So this is actually talking to me. And when you look at it like, this is an opportunity for God to speak to me, it makes the Bible different. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it like God is talking versus I'm just getting information. And when you look at it like God is talking, I don't know, you know I'm saying, how else to say it. It's just like the creator of the universe is speaking to you. He made time to speak to you. He left a book for you that's relevant to you. Like, how can you not be excited about that? Like,
oh, that is exciting. You know, I relived my excitement maybe about 3 days ago. Mm. When I was talking to a brother and we were talking about the creator of the universe designed me, designed you, and every single creature and human in this world, right?
Yep.
And he took the time to give us a purpose to each one of us.
Yep.
That's love. I don't care what anybody says, that's love. People in this world, they're lost in this world, they're secular, they're seeking that purpose, and they don't realize it is on this book.
Not only that, but like...
everything they need.
It's like, not only did he do that, right? He's God, he gave you a purpose. Then he said, you know what? Watch this. How about I come down and show you exactly what to do? Like, the creator of the universe decides, you know what? I'm not just gonna sit up here and bark orders. Watch this. I'm going to be born. I'm going to go through the whole process of what it's like to be human. I'm going to be born. I'm going to come out. I'm going to be a baby. I'm going to be a kid. I'm going to be a teenager. I'm going to be a young adult. Then I'm going to be an adult. Then I'm going to do my ministry. Then I'm going to do what God said. And then I'm going to fulfill my purpose in front of your eyes so you can see that I'm not just about talk. I actually do it. Then I'm gonna let a bunch of people write about me, secular and Christian, so you know that this is legit and it actually happened. Like, what other religion has that where God becomes like you? He becomes a man like you so he can show you how to do it. So nobody can say to Jesus, oh, you don't know what it's like. I'm down here, I'm struggling, I ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? My life is horrible. You're saying you up in heaven, you don't know what that's like. Well, actually, I do know what it's like because I was there more than once. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole nother thing. But you know what I'm saying? He was here. He walked this life.
Man.
And then died for something that's not his fault. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like to be murdered, to be killed, and knowing that you have committed no sin, you've done nothing wrong. That's just... Yeah,
you can't ignore those. You can't. You know, it's amazing. You know, when you tell somebody about Jesus and they start rejecting him, I'm like, man, let me give you more evidence.
No.
You got to be blind and deaf not to hear this one.
And they are.
Right? Besides scripture, I know you talked about an audiobook. What else do you read, listen to? What else do you feed your body to be in tune with Jesus?
To be honest, there's not much else. I don't really like reading books. I read the Bible. I picked up that audio book partially because it was audio. I don't have to.
I agree.
Read it.
Believe me, I have a few of those.
Talking. It's hard for me to get into other books, just because, one, I don't really like reading like that. I get bored real fast. And I hate to say this because it might sound weird, but I promise I'm not trying to sound extra spiritual or nothing like that. But like, I always feel like I don't know the Bible enough to be reading another book. And so, and then I don't really like reading books. So you add that on top of it, it becomes like, I should probably just keep reading this until I really, really get it. And then I know I'm never really, really gonna get it all the way. Cause you always, it's like you read it and then, you know, you read the same passages when you're 20, you read it when you're 30, you read it when you're 40, and you get something new every single time because your life has changed, you done been through more experiences, and so now different things jump out at you. And so, I mean, that's just where I'm at. I don't really read a whole lot of other stuff. I do like talking to people. I kind of read people, I guess, as books. So I like talking to other people and getting their perspective and listening to their life and what happened to them, because that kind of gives me, I guess, more of a roundedness about how to think about things, because different people go through different stuff. And if you always look at things through your own eyes or through your own lens, you might miss something that God is trying to show you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The last interview that we did, we talked about how God leaks even through the secular world. Since we're all image bearers of God, mm-hmm. You know, it's important for us to pay attention to everything, because even people that are not believers will have a good lesson.
Absolutely.
And I'm the same way. I'm in tune with everybody, and I like to sort of study them, not in a bad way. I'm not judging them, but I like to see what motivates them, what's pushing them to either be a Christian or not wanting to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, and I usually use that to bring them back. I'm like, you know, if you realize, you know, like, you didn't kill anybody, right? Okay, cool. Well, that's a commandment in the Bible, just so you know. So I connect them through their daily lives.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, everything is settled. Your kids are in bed. Everything's done in the house. What is the last thing you do before you close your eyes?
To be honest, I fall asleep in the middle of doing things a lot. So I could be on the couch and watch the TV, and I'm like, I'm about to watch the last 5 minutes of this show. Now I wake up, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just like, I never saw the last 5 minutes of that show. Or I'm sitting in front of the computer right now. I'm working on an album, so I'm mixing the album. Last night, I was mixing the album and fell asleep mixing the album. So I'm listening to the song over and over and over, trying to make sure the levels are right and whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Before I go to bed, I'm just going to listen to this one more time and see if I could adjust this. And I wake up 2 hours later. Like, the song is still playing, and I wake up. You know how, like, you're asleep and you kind of jolt yourself away? Like, oh. It's like, oh, wow. So I probably should just get into bed now. And then I just usually get into bed. And then I fall asleep, like, immediately. I don't really have a nighttime pattern. It's just whatever I'm doing, I typically fall asleep doing it, because I'm trying to just get the most out of every second of the day.
Yeah, no, and especially with kids. I also have two kids, so by the time we're, you know, get that little break, you're like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
We're getting to the last part of this podcast, and this is where the good questions come in. You know, what is one area that you're looking to surrender in your life, and why?
Looking to surrender. I don't think there's one specific area. It's just, I just want to be surrendered enough so that if God speaks to me, I move immediately. You know what I'm saying? There's times where, like, I'm saying, you know, you probably like experiences too. You're in the middle of doing one thing and you hear God tell you to do something else. Like, I could be sitting at the computer, I'm checking my email, I'm working on a project or whatever I'm doing, and I can hear God, or not hear, but I get this feeling like, I need you to come pray. And I'll be like, I'll do that in 5 minutes. I'll do that in 10 minutes. And it keeps coming back to me. Like, yeah, I'm gonna need you to come pray. Or I need you to come read this thing, and I'll show you something. I want to be able to get up immediately and not say, give me 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear that and be like, okay, I'm about to stop whatever I'm doing right now, because obviously this is not that important, and I'm going to go do what I feel like you're telling me to do. Like, I want that to happen, like, immediately. Not like, okay, I heard you, let me finish doing this thing first. And, you know, what usually happens is I say, I heard you, give me a minute. And then I keep doing it, and then 2 or 3 minutes go by, and I start feeling funny, like, yo, you didn't move. And I go, wow, let me get up. And then I get up and I go.
Yeah, and that happens to me in the mornings. I like to always say thank you. Mm-hmm. For everything he's given me, you know, I'm trying to be a good steward of everything that's around me.
Right.
So what I have, I want to be thankful for, and I want to make sure I use it for his kingdom.
Amen.
There are times when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I didn't say thank you. Wow, I gotta go back to sleep. So I do go back to, like, and I put my blanket over. I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, because I want to be obedient like you.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure I surrender that. Community. Talking to other brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, family. Yeah, how important is community to you?
Community is important. I think it depends upon what kind of community you have around you. So a lot of people, church is their community. You go to church, everybody knows you there. Maybe you go to their houses and you eat dinner or whatever. I find myself often where I'm making my own community. Like, our church is kind of big, and my experiences with church have not necessarily been super positive. So, you know, typically when you go to a church, what you would want to happen is you go there, you meet people, you share, you become kind of like family, and you grow together, and it's dope. My experiences have been like the opposite of that. Like, I go there, you want to meet people, you start talking to them, and then they're busy, or they don't have enough time, or it's kind of like a false friendship. Everybody calls you brother, everything's cool. It's like, great, well, let me get your phone number so we could talk and, you know, go get breakfast or something on Saturday or whatever. Okay, cool. And then you call them and they never pick up the phone. Or you leave a message and they never respond. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's just this one person. And then you do it 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 times. And it keeps happening over and over. You can start to feel like, wow, this is kind of trash. Like, I'm trying to reach out to people and people are just, you know, they're just not available. So then what I start doing is, essentially, I just make my own community. People that I'm friends with, if you're a Christian, it's like, yo, let's get up, let's read this Bible. Yo, let's do this, let's do that. So community is important because you need people to build with. You need people to talk to. You need people that can share the same type of feelings that you have. But then at the same time, I don't want to be in a position where I'm dependent upon somebody else to make me feel a certain kind of way. So if my community is unavailable, I can't just curl up in a corner and die. Like, oh, you know, I tried to call everybody, nobody picked up the phone. Like, well, if that happens, well, then I can always call Jesus. He's always available. Like, that's the thing I love about the Lord, is that the Bible is always there. Jesus is always there. Even when people let you down, when your community doesn't show up for you, he's always there. And he finds a way to bring people around you that are going to be able to assist you and walk with you and do stuff like that. But sometimes there's moments in life where you don't have that, and you have to still be able to move forward without being discouraged because other people are too busy or because they didn't pick up your phone call. And so it's important, obviously. And then at the same time, you shouldn't be dependent on nothing but the Lord. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
No, it definitely does. And I agree with you. I also am watchful of that. That I am not seeking the praise and applause from friends.
Right.
Because community to me, it's also including ultimately Jesus.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's why I want to have community in. You know, I want to be his friend. I want him to be my friend. I want him to be the one who, you know, the Holy Spirit who convicts me and guides me. And I completely agree with what you're saying. It's highly important. And as much as I also like community, I also know the boundaries of not depending on that.
Yeah.
You know, I thank you for that. I hope the listeners get that, because it's important, especially right now. Yeah. You know, I think the best friend you can have right now is Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, really, anytime, now, later.
Yeah, every all time. Yeah. You know, every time, all the time. And that's the beauty part of it, right?
It is.
He is the friend that never leaves you.
Never. That's so dope too. And he doesn't. He never makes you feel trash either. Like, you know, some things like you want to share with somebody. You know how you want to be able to be transparent with brothers or sisters or whoever. And there's always this thing like, how transparent can I actually be with you? Like, are you going to go run and tell somebody else? Do I know you well enough? Are you going to look at me strange if I tell you this? Like, all these different things. Like, you don't have to worry about that when you talk to the Lord. Like, he's not running and telling anybody. He doesn't look at you strange because of whatever thing you feel. You know what I'm saying? You could just bear everything and feel like, wow, he still loves me. Where if you bear everything with somebody that you think is there, and then when they hear that thing, now they're like, I don't know about you anymore. Now you're like, oh man, I messed up this relationship. I got too transparent.
Yeah. And one thing that I belong to a group called Bud Gottman's Ministry. Mm-hmm. And one of the main things is always, before anyone bears their heart to one another, is pray. We're going to get Jesus in here, because once you start looking down on someone, you're judging, you're thinking they're less than, and now you're self-gained arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, thinking like, I'm better than this person, and look at them, you know, look how much better I am. But, you know, truthfully, our clothes are just as filthy, probably even more.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you for sharing that. So we're at the end. What is something you want to leave behind for the listening audience?
I think the main thing is that if you don't know Jesus, you need to get Jesus. If you don't know why, I invite you to read the Bible. I always tell people to start reading the book of Mark. I know everybody's favorite thing is John, but if you don't really know what's going on, you start reading John, it could be confusing right out the gate. But if you start reading Mark, if you notice, always, I'm saying, Mark is written like an action movie. It's like, he tells you everything that was like super exciting right from the beginning. Jesus walked over here, healed this lady, and then she got up, and then I mean, right from the first chapter. And so it's really cool, I think, to have people start there. Just read about who this dude was, what he did, how he lived. Investigate outside of the Bible, because the evidence is there. You know what I'm saying? All you gotta do is investigate. You don't even gotta take my word for it. Just investigate who Jesus actually is. And if you already know who he is, then stay in his face and look for him to do exciting things in your life, and always try to have impact on other people so that they can become stronger in him. Ultimately, that's where it's at. For me, anyway.
Great wisdom, brother. I appreciate it. You know, I tell everybody that I interview, even if we reach one person, we did our job. That's it. You know, if we reach a mass, then hey, that was a job. You know, sometimes our job is just to kick a little pebble. Sometimes it's to roll a stone.
Right.
We never know. You know, so I thank you for that. Do you mind closing in prayer, please?
Sure. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to Pablo on the internet/phone/recording. I just pray that your word go forth in his life, in my life. Pray that we ultimately keep our ears open so that we can hear from you. And I pray that we would immediately respond to the things that you're telling us. I pray for anybody that might be listening that doesn't know you. I pray that you reveal yourself to them in a huge way that they just really can't deny. I pray that you would bring people to them that can help them on their journey. And I just pray that your perfect will be done, you know. I know it's cliche, on earth as it is in heaven. And I just pray that we live our lives and be something that you can be proud of and excited about, that we're doing what you told us to do. Amen.
Amen. Well, Prophet, if you can tell us your Instagram account, how can people hear your music? I think it's dope, man.
Oh, thanks.
Confess something to you. When I became a Christian, I was still attached to hip hop.
Okay.
You know, I was still attached to Notorious B.I.G., to all these guys. And I said, Lord, I cannot be doing that. Right. Lord, I can't be listening to this music and still treating women that way. I can't, Father. And he said, give me a sec. And he brings me some, you know, Christian rappers, you know, like KV, you know, all these guys, Lecrae, all these guys. And then I found you, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I also like reggae. Can you do something about it?
Oh, yeah. He did. He got everything.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I tell people all the time. Brother, you just come into this team, and the Lord will bring some with you.
Absolutely.
So, I want to make sure that you get a shout out on this moment and people get to listen to you and hear your music. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so you can find me everywhere. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, at Prophet Josiah. That's P-R-A-F-I-T, Josiah, just like it's spelled in the Bible. My website, prophetjosiah.com. That will basically bring you to all of my music. And not only music, you'll see videos of me talking and sharing how I feel about life, how I feel about God. You know what I'm saying? All of that. Because ultimately, my goal is to do music and reach people through music. And then at the same time, to just have regular conversations, kind of like we have them right now. And just let people know outside of music, like, this is like real for real. It's not just music. This is actual ministry. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's the aim. You can find me everywhere. Just Prophet Josiah, at Prophet Josiah, P-R-A-F-I-T, Josiah.com.
Thank you, brother. Be sure to follow him on Instagram. I know I do. Thank you so much for your time and all the wisdom you've been imparted. Thank you, brother.
All right. Have a good day.